destroy and stand in his vision. Make Rockoff, Apache, Joshua, Phil.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Good morning, everybody. My gratitude to the pastor in charge. Thank you so much, and the entire eldership of this presbytery. May the Lord bless you. It's a privilege to bring the word of the Lord to us, and I trust that God will help us and bless us this morning in Jesus' name. Can we lift our hands one more time to heaven and ask the Lord to speak to us? We have received words. We have received worship. And let's ask the Lord again that He will speak one more time to our hearts. The Bible declares that the entrance of His word gives light and understanding to the simple. That the revival that is already breaking forth from this Presbyterian church, that it will spread across all the expressions within this nation and across the globe. Is someone speaking to the Lord? For in Jesus' matchless name we have prayed. Amen. Please be seated. Just a very brief session with us. I believe in the power of God's word, and I believe in the teaching of God's word, because therein lies the power of the believer. All that happens to the believer in this kingdom depends on the understanding that we have of the word of God. The Bible says, then open he their eyes, their understanding, that they might understand the scripture. So let's look at our text and we'll examine a few things this morning. Isaiah 43 from verse 18 and 19. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. It says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. The next verse says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. There are three instructions there, and it's important that we understand what the prophet is saying. Number one, he says, remember ye not. Remember ye not. Remember ye not. The moment the Bible talks of remembrance and memory, immediately he refers to the past. Because you see, time is broken into three dimensions. There is past, there is present, and there is future. There is yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Are we together? And God designed it that way, such that today and tomorrow can correct whatever it is that was wrong with yesterday. There's nothing you can do about yesterday when time only goes forward. So God fragmented time into yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So he says, remember ye not the former things. The first instruction here, and that is my first admonishment to us this morning, is that overdwelling in the past, whether positively or negatively, can hinder advancement and progress. Overdwelling in the past. It doesn't have to be negative. Overdwelling in the past is a cancer to progress, a cancer to advancement. Hallelujah. When you dwell on the negative past, it is able to create discouragement, fear, and it will even deflate your passion. Listen, when you dwell in yesterday and all the negative occurrences and the negative experiences that came with yesterday, among the many things that it can do to you is, number one, it will plant fear. Are we together now? Fear of the future, fear of today. Number two, it sustains the ability to bring discouragement. 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 And number three, it can deflate your passion. You need passion to press forward, to push against the vicissitudes of life. So the prophet is giving us an instruction. He says, remember ye not the former things. Former pain,
former disappointment, former mistakes. Are we together now? Yes. And you see, the past has a voice. It always seeks to relieve itself in your today. Are we together? It is a reason why you can remember something that happened 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and begin to cry a current tears. Are we together now? Yes. You can watch a movie that has been acted 5-10 years ago and cry as though it were happening now. The past always seeks to relieve itself in your today. It is your responsibility, and by this instruction, to remember not. That is a statement that demands responsibility. So there is the negative past that can bring fear. To remember means to bring to memory. To remember means to make alive again. Are we together now? Remember ye not the former things, the former past, because it creates fear, it creates discouragement, and it deflates your passion to press. But the positive past can also create complacency, can create pride and overconfidence. It can even create indiscipline. Are we together now? So, overdwelling on both the negative and the positive past can affect you. I take it again that the positive past, when you overdwell there, it can create complacency, it can create pride. There are people who their unbecoming is that they succeeded yesterday. That was the worst thing that happened to them. Their success of yesterday so beclouded them that today and tomorrow came and they did not have the passion to succeed again. I built a house yesterday. I healed the sick yesterday. I prayed in tongues yesterday. I raised the dead yesterday. He said, remember ye not the former things. There are many, many people who are not able to do great things because their yesterday beclouded them. Whether your yesterday was positive or negative, overdwelling on it. This is why God never put the human eye at the back, because it does not expect you to concentrate facing backward. Are we together? If you want to turn with your eyes back, your whole body must turn back. Here's what Apostle Paul had to say. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 13 and 14. Is God speaking to us already? Philippians 3, 13 and 14. This is a very powerful lesson that I learned years ago. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing. Say one thing. One more time, say one thing. But this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth for those things which are before. It says, verse 14, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. I remember I prayed a prayer many years ago and I told the Lord, I said, Father, may I never know the extent of my impact so that it does not affect my focus and affect my advancement. To know that I have the privilege of blessing lives across the nations is enough for me. There are many of us who have the itch to reminisce and continue to review the past, not so that we can strategize for the future. Many of us continue to flatter ourselves around little results, spiritual results, financial results, career results, and you find that we're not able to make progress. And beware of people who clap for you too much and stop you from moving forward. There are people who clap for you even when you have not done much. Great men know how to shut their ears so that they are able to make maximum progress. There was a story that was told about someone who was about to climb, a very high tower. And whilst the person was climbing, there were two groups of people on the ground. And some of them were clapping for him and encouraging him. And some were saying, you better stop and come down. Two groups, all on the ground. He was climbing. It was quite an impossible feat, but he kept moving. And some were clapping for him to come down. Some were clapping to notify him to continue. And the man kept clapping, and they found out that he did not seem to secure their attention. When he got to the top, someone came and motioned and was talking to him, and he could not reply the person. Eventually, they found out that the man was deaf. That was the reason he was able to climb. So those clapping for him, he could not hear them. Those discouraging him, he could not hear them. One thing that was his focus was that he was going up and nothing would change his mind. If he had the ears to hear those clapping for him, pride would make him to even leave the ladder and come down. If he heard those who discouraged him, maybe complacency and fear would make him to not be able to continue. The applauds of men and their discouragement can affect you all the same. Is someone learning? So the first instruction is, remember ye not. He's not saying to not celebrate the past. He's saying overdwelling on the past, whether positively or negatively, can affect an individual. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
This one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, I press. Hallelujah. The second instruction is found in verse 19. Please give it to us. Isaiah 43 and verse 19. Isaiah 43 and verse 19. It says, behold. The word behold is a very interesting word. The word behold means be sensitive. The word behold means see. The word behold means conceive in your spirit what I'm about to say. Are we together now? So when he says behold, let me have your attention, he says. Remember ye not the former things, the first instruction. Second instruction is behold. You're not going to understand and benefit from what I'm about to say when you are distracted. I need your focus. I need your discernment. Did that not happen to the man at Gate Beautiful? The Bible says Peter and John went to pray at the hour of prayer. Then they met this man who was crippled from birth. And then he said, look on us. And the Bible says he looked at them, giving them his rapt attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He needed his attention. So when the Bible says, behold, he's saying, take your eyes away from the things that are distracting you and focus. Martha and Mary were two people who demonstrated the power of focus or otherwise. So Jesus is teaching, and he's having a session with his people as his custom was. And the Bible talks about Martha who ran up and down trying to do so many things. And she was angry that the women were not there to help her. And Mary was seated at the feet of Jesus. Jesus replies Martha and he says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and you are upset about many things. He says, one thing is needful. And this one thing Mary has chosen, one thing, not many things, one thing is needful, to sit at the master's feet. So when he says, behold, he said, listen, you are giving all kinds of things your attention. Focus on Jesus. Focus on that which is about to come. Are we together? Yes. There are so many things that clamor for our attention. Social media has its voice and clamoring for attention. Men have their voices. All kinds of things. The Bible's speaking. Paul was speaking and he said, there is, as it were, many voices. And he says, none of them is without signification. We live in a world today where we're immersed in so many voices. All kinds of things bringing different opinions to you. Culture has its voice. Failure has its voice. Men have their voices. Technology has its voice. One thing is needful. So when he says, behold, let me have your attention finally, so that I'm able to reveal to you that which I desire to do. Is someone listening? Behold, see, conceive, contemplate on this in your spirit. Now, the third instruction, or down, this comes as a prophetic word. It says, I will do, not just I will say, not just I will think, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. Do you know what that means? It is important to know where God is moving. Because where God is moving is where his power is moving. Where God is moving is where his anointing is moving. It is a dangerous thing to be where God was and not know what he is doing now. He says, I will do. I am moving. I am acting. And then he says, a new thing. Now pay attention, please. What is the implication of this statement? I wrote here, When God says, I will do a new thing, that means there is a performance about to happen. That means there is a wave of the Spirit. That means there is something in the mind of the Spirit per season and per time. Sometimes it is an unfamiliar performance. When we talk of something new, it means something that may have never occurred again. Please listen carefully. Every time new things are about to come, whether in the spirit or in life and destiny, they demand certain levels of understanding. It says, behold, I will do a new thing. It never said, behold, I am acting a new thing. The emphasis is new. Are we together? Please write this down. I wrote here that experiencing a new dimension of God, a new dimension of the move of God, a new dimension, a new leaf, a new page in life and destiny generally demands two things. And this will be the apex of my teaching this morning, and then we're done. So he says, I will do a new thing, a performance. I am moving. I have arisen already. Experiencing the new demands, number one, discernment and flexibility. Please write it down. Discernment and flexibility. When God talks about a new thing, it means it is an unfamiliar performance. It is an unfamiliar pathway you're going to be following. That requires discernment. It requires flexibility. Two stories very quickly in scripture for our understanding. Luke chapter 1 and from verse 26. Luke 1:26. So this is a young virgin, a young lady espoused to a man called Joseph, preparing for her wedding like every young lady would, happily planning her marriage, and then something disrupts her life that will be a disruption forever. The Bible says in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Reading to 38, a long reading, please pay attention. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. 28. And the angel came to her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, the angel now, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind, what manner of salutation should this be? In other words, this has never happened to me in this fashion. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. 32. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall be of no end. 34. The Bible says, Mary said unto the angel, how shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man? Just hang on here before we continue. So the Bible says, I do a new thing. Here is a young virgin who is having a very disturbing salutation from an angel. And now he tells her that you are going to be with child and yet without a man. And she's saying, this is beyond the scope of my understanding. I know that a man has to participate for me to be pregnant and have a child. And then I'm still a virgin. I'm not married yet. And the angel told him, don't worry. The answer, please give it to us. Verse 34, 35. Mary said, how shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man? Next verse. And the angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Flexibility and discernment. Flexibility. When you read down to verse 38, she says, here is your handmaiden. Even though this is strange, even though I've never experienced this, I do not know the controversies that will
surround my obeying you, my listening to this kind of instruction. However, it says, be it unto me as new as it is, as strange as it is, as unfamiliar as it is, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed. Hallelujah. Now, there are many people who are not able to experience the new things that God is doing because we camp around what he did yesterday or the way he did it before. There are times that when you stand before the Red Sea, the instructions for victory will be stretched forth your rod, and the river will part hither and thither.
But there are times you will need to walk on water. When it is time to walk on water and you are waiting for the water to part, you may remain there forever. The same person who parted the sea is the same person who walked on water and even empowered Peter to walk on water. You must know when to walk on water and you must know when to watch it part. Waiting on the God that parts the sea alone will keep you there as a victim forever. Because there are times that God will not decide to part the waters. There are times that God can bring deliverance for you, but there are times that you will still enter the lion's den and he will protect you there. You will still be in the midst of the fire and he will protect you there. Flexibility and discernment. Are we together? The Bible says the Lord will deliver you from every evil attack. That is a strategy that he has invented for the victory of the saints. But there are times where the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, are we together now? They comfort me. It says, thou preparest a table for me in the midst, not the absence of my enemies. The most important thing for the believer is to discern, what is God doing now? What is God doing now? How is he moving now? Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1. God, who in sundry times and diverse manners spake to us in time past through the prophets, had in these last days, the Bible says, spoken to us through his Son. Through his Son, whom he had appointed. Let's continue. It says, whom he had appointed to be heir of all things. He spake to us in time past using a strategy, but he's now designed to use his Son. It is the reason why the scribes and the Pharisees had a problem with Jesus, because Jesus disrupted order. He disrupted the way they knew things to be. For instance, in John chapter 5, the Bible talks about a man who had been at a pool called Bethesda, that once a year, an angel would come and stir the water, and whoever was the first to move in would be healed. That was how they knew healing to happen. Yet Jesus came with another way to heal. He said, you do not have to wait on that water. Rise up and be healed. Discernment and flexibility. I know that God increases people by blessing the works of their hands. And God commands that we be diligent. But do you know that God can put it in the heart of a man to come and bless you and raise you in one day? Because of the peculiarity of the pain that you've gone through. It's called favor. Are we together? That in one day, slaves of 430 years were given gold and all of these things. But the purpose was that they would go and build the tabernacle in the wilderness. So if the only one you know is the God who prospers the work of your hands, you may never experience the God. Listen, God can cause abundance to your farm, but he can give you manna too in one day. It is still the same God. Is someone learning now? The challenge is that most times, because of the way that we have walked with God, or we are used to God walking with us, we peg ourselves around a formula and a strategy, and we're not flexible enough to say, God, however you want to do it, to you be all the glory. Chances are excellent that when we say God bless you, your mind goes straight to an uncle somewhere or some business person you are related with. You are saying amen, but your amen is not genuinely by faith. Your amen is connected to someone you are aware of. And yet, in his wisdom, he wants strangers to be the ones who bless you. Because there is a statement that he wants you to know that he is God all by himself. And he can make even a fish to bring coin. If God asks you to go and look for money, will you go and bring it from the mouth of a fish? The diversities that are in God already tells you that you need flexibility. Just because God is not moving the way he moved 10 years ago does not mean he's not the one moving. Are we together? Yeah. Flexibility and discernment. Flexibility and discernment. Who would have known 20 years ago that the world will be the way it is now in terms of technological advancement? Hallelujah. And there are people, sadly, who found it difficult to adjust to the changing times. And sadly, to their detriment, there are businesses, there are companies, there are technological products that packed up because they did not have the ability to be flexible. Listen, even in the communication of the gospel, there's no time for us to discuss this. I would have shown you in Mark's account of the Great Commission. Jesus said, in fact, let's look at it. Mark 16:15. Is God speaking to someone this morning? Mark 16:15. Watch this. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Please leave that statement there. Just go to verse 15. Keep it there and let me explain something. This is particularly for our missionaries who are here. I understand that there are missionaries who are here. Jesus told us what to do. Go ye. Take action. He told us where to go. All the world. He told us what to do. Preach. He told us the message, the gospel, but he never told us how. He left the strategy flexible because of the changing times. Are you seeing that? The action remains the same. The mission field remains the same. The assignment remains the same. The people to reach remains the same. The message will never change. But how it will be communicated, he left it to be flexible. Behold, I do a new thing. Behold, I do a new thing. I am going to bless you, but not the way you know it to be. I am going to anoint you, but not the way you know it to be. Are we together? Behold, I do a new thing demands flexibility and discernment. Number two, very quickly, and then we pray. Experiencing a new thing, a new dimension from God, a new move will demand obedience. The second demand, obedience. Be willing to receive instructions and to honor them, especially prophetic instructions. The prophetic always heralds new seasons. This is how God operates. That every time a new season befalls you, a prophetic instruction will come. There is always something that he demands to be done to bring you into the new. Just because prophetically God desires to open up a new season. Listen to me. When Jesus was about to start his ministry now, he needed to encounter this prophet called John the Baptist. Hallelujah. And when he came to John, he had never been baptized. John sees him and says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And then he comes to John to be baptized. And John says, I'm not even worthy to untie the latchet of your shoes. And Jesus says, suffer it to be so, that all scripture be fulfilled. Is someone learning? You must be willing to receive prophetic instructions. Please listen to me. You will never enter the new that God is doing if you do not know how to discern, to receive, and to honor prophetic instructions. Let me show you three stories and then we'll pray. You will never see more of God, more of his hand, more of his grace when you are not prepared to receive prophetic instructions and to act on it. John chapter 2. The wedding in Cana of Galilee. We'll begin our reading from verse 5. The Bible tells us that there was a feast in Cana of Galilee. And wine had finished. Can you imagine that wine is finished in a wedding? Embarrassment was imminent. And a few people came and met Mary, the mother of Jesus. And said, what do we do about this situation now? And the Bible records that she went to Jesus. And Jesus said, woman, why have you come to disturb me? It is not yet my time. And Mary made a very instructive statement. Let's read together if you can see it. Ready? One to read. His mother said unto his servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Not think it, not argue it, not wish it. There is timing to the move of God. You can abort the move of God through complacency and the delay to act. Are we together? Whatsoever he tells you to do, do. Now the Bible says he told them, fill 6 pots with water. What a risk. And then he says, once you feel them, fetch it. Don't taste it. Don't verify if it has become wine. Be on your way to the rulers. In those days, they didn't forgive, they didn't pardon, they killed immediately. You can imagine their lives were on the line. But that was the price for the new. And the Bible says, while they moved, a miracle happened. Not before, not during, while they moved. And when they got to the rulers said, what have you done to us? That people bring their best wine at the first time, and you have hidden this one till we drank all kinds of things, and now you have brought the best. Imagine the honor that came upon those women. Those men, you would recommend them for every other wedding and say, these men have a way of bringing a very good wine. Their lives changed overnight because they were willing to obey prophetic instructions. Is someone learning? Willing to obey. Willing to obey. Willing to obey. One time, they had toiled all night, the disciples, and did not have any catch. It was such a frustrating thing. And Jesus told them, he says, cast your net. He said, Master, we have toiled all night. You find that in, I think, Luke 5, from verse 4 and 5, thereabout. It says, nevertheless, at thy word. Nevertheless, at thy word. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Verse 5. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, someone say nevertheless. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Verse 6, the Bible now says, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish and their nets break. Behold, I do a new thing. In your ministry, a new thing. In your family, a new thing. In your spiritual life, a new thing. In your finances, a new thing. But it will demand flexibility. You don't choose how God moves in your life. He's Lord all by himself. Your assignment is to submit to the method that he decides to use as far as his wisdom is concerned. Hallelujah. One last point and then we'll pray. Is God helping us this morning? I want us to avoid a very serious tragedy that happened in the book of Acts, where people, because they are not familiar and they do not have discernment and they are not attentive to the things of God, they can miss the things that they so greatly desire. Let me show you something that happened in Acts chapter 12, and then we'll wrap up for this morning. Acts chapter 12. The Bible says, Herod stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And in doing so, he killed James, the brother of John. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he now held Peter. Please pay attention. Planning that after the feast of the unleavened bread, that he was now going to apprehend Peter. Are we together? Peter was kept in prison, verse 4 says, under four quaternion of soldiers to keep him, that after Easter he will bring him forth to the people. Verse 5. Let's read together. It says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So the church was praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, we will not let what happened to James happen to Peter now. We are praying that you will deliver him. In answer to their prayer, watch what happened. The Bible says that night, bound hand and chain. The Bible says, next verse please, verse 7. It says, an angel of the Lord came in response to their prayer and smote Peter by the side. And told Peter, stand up, let's walk together, let's go. Now jump to verse 10 for the sake of time. So Peter is led out by the angel. Are we together? And the Bible says the angel departed from him. 11 now. Watch this. When Peter came to himself, he said, now I know that God has delivered me from Herod and the expectation of the Jews. Next verse. When he considered the thing, watch this now. The Bible says he came to the house. They were praying that he would leave the prison and arrive home safely. Was that not the prayer? The Bible now says he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, where they were gathered together. They were still praying. Now, verse 13. Peter knocked at the door of the gate. I am the answer to what you have been praying. The Bible says a damsel came to hearken called Rhoda. This is a tragedy I want you to avoid. Verse 14. When she knew it was Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood at the gate. Verse 15. And they said unto her, you are mad. She constantly affirmed that it was him. And they said it is his angel. How do you pray for something and it comes to you? Because it did not come in the form you expect. You are driving it away. He said, you've been praying. This is the answer to your prayer. You've been praying and fasting for my release. Now I have come to knock the door and you are rejecting it because it's in a form you did not see. Lord, give me increase in ministry. Give me increase in my life. And God is bringing a man to your life. And you say, Lord, I'm asking for money, not a man. Not knowing that the resources are hidden in men. You must have the discernment to know how answers come. Peter knocked the door. And they said, no, you are not the one. Go back. So how did they expect the answer to come? Their minds were already pegged at the answer coming in a certain way. God could not bring this kind of deliverance. That whilst we are praying, you see that most believers do not expect answers to what they pray for. Because when the answers come, we reject it. Lord, grant me the healing power. Let it come upon my life. And then someone says, I've just been healed of cancer. And you yourself, you say, no, I don't believe that. Me, I've never prayed for anybody like that. Don't come and lie to me. Because you did not even expect it to happen. Listen, if you want the new to happen, I leave you with these two instructions. One, discernment and flexibility. Number two, obedience. There are times that you have never walked on water, but you will have to step out at his command. Hallelujah. If you want to see God move like you have never seen, you will have to do something you have never done. My life is full of stories that I can tell you to attest of these new things. Those who make progress and those who scale heights from one level of grace to the other. Can I tell you? You must learn how to believe him. You must learn how to believe him even when you do not understand him. He called a man called Abraham in Ur of the Chaldeans. And the Bible says that he told him, come, I will send you to a land that Abraham did not know. But in obeying me, I will make your name great. I will bless them that bless you. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. To be happy in Jesus,
but to trust and obey.
The Bible says when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and to all who will trust and obey. You have to learn to trust him even when you do not understand him. You have to learn to trust him even when you do not understand him. Missionaries, you must have to learn to trust him even when you do not understand him. Scientific Christianity will always end us in disappointment. There are times where you have to take blind faith. Lord, I depend upon you. I may not see wind. I may not see rain. Yet I know that my valley shall be filled with water. Calculating everything and crying for guarantees is why we are not able to scale heights and to do new things. When the worshippers, I was so touched, the trumpeters came and they made a very profound statement. They said, when Jesus becomes your inheritance, that was a powerful statement. Your inheritance. That no matter
what you do not have, this one thing gives you a guarantee that he's my inheritance. And he's the basis for every other thing that will come to my life. in addition to all you have heard all through this week, I bring you this message that if you desire to see the new in your life, particularly in your spiritual life, missionaries, you are going back to the mission field, don't sit down and say the way we have been doing it is how we will continue. Why don't you reach forth in the place of prayer and say, Lord, how do you intend for this land to be reached? How do you intend for there is a higher level of efficiency in the spirit? Businessman, could there be a better way of approaching this such that you will see God honor you like never before? It is important to keep the modus operandi that God has given us, but we must have the flexibility to know that God is always in motion. It is dangerous to be where God was and not where He is. It is dangerous to be where God was. He says, why? I know He was in the grave, but He's no longer there. And she remained at the grave waiting for Jesus. And He said, listen, He has left here. He was once here, but He's no longer there. Don't stand at the grave praying and crying, whereas the King has resurrected and He's even left. He said, go ahead. He has left His location. Hallelujah. We are going to pray. God desires to do something new in your life and in my life. In your music ministry, in your business, in ministry, those who sustain the flexibility, even in our world, from a technological standpoint, from a governmental standpoint, those who have the flexibility to adopt the new, doesn't mean to just bend into everything, but I can tell you, excessive rigidity is the key to depletion, and it makes people obsolete. The flexibility to adopt, even the leading organizations across the globe, they will tell you that one of the basis for their advancement is the flexibility, the ability to be able to adjust. Advancement in medicine, advancement in business, advancement in all kinds of fields have happened today because there is a department called research and development. Am I right on that? And their assignment is to adopt new and more efficient ways of carrying out the same thing. Once upon a time, many years ago, when a woman is pregnant, the labor that she goes through around the fireplace is enough to kill her and the baby, all because she's trying to deliver. That was the method that they knew. But now you can imagine all kinds of advancements in technology. If you are still camping around that, you will find out that so many things will not be able to happen to your life. God is speaking to someone. Perhaps the way you have known to pray is to just spend 5 minutes and just say minus God. There's a way they say it. Plus Jesus, minus Satan. Amen. Maybe that was good based on your upbringing. But do you know that strategy of prayer does not produce power and strength? You will need to invest time in the place of prayer, building up your spirit man. What else do you need to know about prayer? What else do you need to know about the Word of God? What else do you need to know about the house of God? Your knowledge must always be transitory. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 2, and then I close. The Bible says, but if any man thinks that he knoweth anything, he says, let him know that he, 1 Corinthians 8, 2, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. There is always something new to know. There is always something new to do. So when God says, remember ye not the former things, I repeat one more time, that excessive dwelling on the past, positively and negatively, can destroy your potential for making progress. Then he says, behold, your attention, I do a new thing. It may not be the way I did it before, but it's important for you to find consolation that I am still the one who is moving. Can we pray now? Please rise up on your feet. Rise up on your feet. We're about to pray. And I'm going to request that you pray before I speak over your life. I believe that God is doing something new, even in the Presbyterian Church. Hallelujah.
And I really want to salute the leadership and the eldership for having the flexibility to allow the diversity of the operation of the Spirit. It is something that is not usual. It is something that is not common. However, it holds the secret for the move of God. That there are many people who may not be part of what God is doing in the nearest future. And the reason is because of excessive rigidity to the move of God. There are things that should never change. You do not renovate a foundation. You can renovate buildings. You can renovate, you can re-zinc a house. When you are about renovating foundations, you are destroying the structure. There are certain foundations that should never change. However, architecture teaches us that when you want a building to be modern and more attractive, you must be flexible enough. Are we together? To add certain things. That is why engineers construct the building with a belief that there should be flexibility enough to remodel it. Many of us have been able to remodel our homes. Same foundation, unbending, unchanging. That foundation is Jesus. The foundational doctrines that make up the Presbyterian Church. But the approach must be flexible enough to accommodate what God is doing today. I'd like you to lift your voice and let us pray and thank the Lord for all that we have heard. Thank Him. If someone's saying thank you, Jesus, go ahead and thank Him. Thank Him for this conference. Thank Him for all the speakers. Thank Him for the leadership, the eldership. Please make sure you do so, because I'm about to speak over your life. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank Him from the depth of your heart for all that you have received. The impartations, the communications of the Word of God, inspirations that have come from the worship ministry, speaker after speaker, bringing different perspectives of the Word of God. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this conference. Thank you for this day. Hallelujah. Now I want you to pray from the depth of your heart. My past, I wave you goodbye. The pain, the disappointments that try to make me believe I cannot make progress. The Bible says, remember ye not. Go ahead and pray. All of the disappointments of yesterday, the limitations that came with yesterday, even the crowns of yesterday. Someone go ahead and pray. I was Saul yesterday, but I am now I'm Paul now. I was Abraham yesterday, but I'm Abraham now. The conveyor of the covenant and the promise. Go ahead and pray. I may have persecuted the church yesterday, but today I am an advocate of the gospel. I may be Rahab the prostitute yesterday, but today I have become Rahab, one who will follow the plan of God. Go ahead and pray. Past limitations, past failures, in the name of Jesus, laxity in your spiritual life, prayerlessness of yesterday, carelessness of yesterday, I remember not the former things. The pain of yesterday, the mockery of yesterday, the business failure of yesterday. I stop overdwelling in the past. Someone go ahead and pray. I lost money yesterday. I lost my house yesterday. Perhaps I lost a loved one yesterday. As sad as that is, you must obtain grace. Man of God, you will never go forward if you dwell in yesterday, camping around the limitations of yesterday. My family did not do well yesterday. I did not do well academically yesterday. He said, remember ye not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Hallelujah. Next prayer point. Behold, I do a new thing. God, give me discernment. Discernment to know what you are doing, so that I do not drive my miracle and drive the mantle coming to my life and drive the new that you are doing through the absence of discernment. Is someone praying? Open your mouth and pray. Let it be from the depth of your heart. Discernment, the grace to know what you are doing, the grace to know what you are saying. He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches.
He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My final assignment is to speak over your life. The prophetic is very powerful. It has the mandate of announcing new seasons. When it was time for the famine in Samaria to end, as mighty as God is, that condition remained until a prophet came. But when he came, two women in frustration were eating up their children. Can you imagine that kind of tragedy? It was not a parable. A mother is a woman of compassion. Yet in the midst of that kind of economic hardship, they boiled a living being and ate him. And when the king heard this, he tore his garment in despair. And the prophet said, by this time, tomorrow. One time they were meeting with Prophet Elisha, and the Bible says that they met him and they said, where we meet with you is too small. Let us go beyond the Jordan. And the Bible says that one borrowed an axe head, and while he was felling the tree, the axe head fell, and he said, alas, master, it was borrowed. It was still the prophetic. He said, don't worry, the prophetic is here. Now, I know whenever I talk about the prophetic, I know that the prophetic has been abused, unfortunately, ambassadized across this nation and Africa, albeit, do not make a mistake of throwing the baby and the bathwater. Jesus needed three prophets in his life for him to rise. One, Simeon the prophet. Two, Anna the prophetess. Three, John the Baptist. The foundation of the church was built on the apostles and the prophets, Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The prophetic does not mean a man bearing prophet. It means the speakings that brings creation. Are we together? Yes. Do you believe this? Once upon a time, a man who was frustrated, carrying only prophecy in his life, called Abraham, he meets this man called Melchizedek, the king of an ancient city of Salem. And the Bible says he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham, son of the Most High, possessor of the heavens and the earth. And his life changed completely. Can I tell you, when God wants to bless you, he introduces men. Not every man, there are prophets sent. There were many widows in Zarephath, the Bible says, but to none was Elijah sent. That means Elijah passed other widows and told them, God bless you, good morning, good afternoon. But he went to a particular widow in Zarephath. Once upon a time, Saul, the son of Kish, they lost their father's donkey, and for 3 days they went around looking for it and they could not find it. They exhausted their creativity and they were frustrated. They said, why are we going around like this? There is a prophet. Let's go and meet him. And as soon as they encountered Samuel, Samuel said, you go up. Is it not because the Lord has commanded? I will tell you what is in your heart. As soon as Saul met Samuel, the donkey they could not find started going back home on his own. What you call losses is relative to the grace that speaks upon you. What you call defeat and failure is relative to the grace that speaks upon you. And Samuel looks at Saul and said, arise. He said, is it not because God has anointed you to be captain over his inheritance? He says, now that you have encountered me, 3 things will happen to you. And those are the 3 things I want to speak over your life. Number one, he says that the donkey that has been missing, that you will find it has gone back. It's called restoration. I want to declare over someone. He says, and I will restore the years that the canker worm has eaten the palmer worm. Everyone here who has lost money, you have lost relationships, in the name of Jesus, receive restoration. In the name of Jesus, receive restoration. 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 By the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen to me. We're wrapping up. Man can be restored. The Bible says in Job chapter 42 and verse 10 that the Lord turned again the captivity of Job when he prayed for his brethren. How did that happen? It says they who were his friends and of his acquaintances who had left him before, they found their way back to his life and they bemoaned him over the tragedy that had befallen him. And the Bible says everyone gave him a gift. They gave him a piece of money. I'm about to call people who have left your life by whatever demonic manipulation.
generation, helpers of destiny who had left your life. They should have been here, but he said, I desire to come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. I prophesy again, receive restoration. Receive restoration in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Number two, he said, as you return back, Saul, you are going to meet three men, all of them holding two loaves of bread. He said, they will salute you and they will give it to you. Say honor. Say favor. These men carried bread and they were on their way to their homes. But because of something that rests upon you, Saul, they will give you the bread and salute you. I want to declare favor upon someone. It is the number one reason why people rise and accomplish destiny. In the name of Jesus, may my God, who is your God and the God of this Presbyterian church, may he bring favor to your life. Favor to your life. Favor to your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Exodus 3:21, and I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that as ye go, ye shall not go empty. Emptiness is the bankruptcy of favor. And then do you know what honor is? Honor means to be perceived and to be rewarded to match your true worth. That's what it means to be honored. That means it is possible. I have seen people with PhD, but they are receiving the blessings of people who maybe have some certificate somewhere. When honor comes to your life, it balances your perception and it makes people to reward you to match your sacrifice. I don't know who is ready to receive, but in the name of Jesus, may my God honor you. 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 Hear me? When it was time for Jesus to be honored upon the earth, we call it a triumphant entry. There needed to be a donkey that he would ride upon. He said, go to a street where the roads divide, and you will see a colt there that no one, not even the owner, had ridden upon. He said, loose it and let it come. I will use it for my triumphant entry. And when they ask you, say the master had need of it. That means there are things that must come into your life for honor to happen. I don't know what needs to come into your life. For some is finances. For some is relationship. In the name of Jesus, all that makes for manifestation of honor, may it come into your life. May it come into your ministry. In the name of Jesus Christ. Finally, he said, number three, that you will come to a garrison of the Philistines. And when you get there, you are going to see a band of prophets. Even though you are not a prophet, dear Saul, you are just an agrarian under your father Kish, but you are about to see something new. It says that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you shall prophesy like one of those, and you would see that that is what happened. And they said, is Saul also one of the prophets? In other words, by reason of this prophetic encounter, there are some of you who will carry anointings, you will carry graces, you will carry dimensions of the Spirit that men did not know you to carry. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I stretch my hands in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. Now listen. This one is an impartation I want to do for you. Now I want you to listen. I'm wrapping up. My apologies for stretching your time. We're wrapping up now. Hallelujah. I'm burdened that there are missionaries and there are people. Let me just speak over your life. There has to be a release of grace on at least one person. Someone who came here with hunger saying, Lord, I'm stretching. There is a healing grace I must carry. There is a prophetic grace I must carry. Jesus said the problem with the harvest is laborers. Every soul in God's mind is already a harvest. The problem is not the harvest. The problem are the laborers. I will stretch my hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, upon someone here, maybe you have prayed and said, Lord, anoint me afresh. Maybe you have prayed and said, Lord, place a grace upon my music ministry. I don't know where you are, but I stretch my hands and I pray in the name of Jesus. May the hand of the Lord come upon you. May the grace of God rest upon you. May the hand of the Lord come upon you. May the grace of God rest upon you. May the hand of the Lord come upon you. May the grace of God rest upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ. And that when this happens, that when all these three things happen, it says to do as occasion serves you, because indeed you have become another man. Therefore, Presbyterian Church, I decree and declare, standing upon the grace of the pastorate and the eldership, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare to you, remember ye not the former things, nor consider the things of old. For in this day and in this season, in your lives, in the ministry and in the church, behold, God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. In your mission fields, a new thing. In every family, a new thing. In your ministry, a new thing. In your business and career, a new thing. You are blessed and blessed forever. The sound of mourning and defeat will not be heard from you again. The shouts of joy and victory is the only thing that will be heard in your camp. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless the youth in this church. I bless the eldership. I bless the pastorate. Keep going from glory to glory. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for this opportunity. May the Lord bless you in Jesus' name.